In Bhagavad Lila, Chapter 74, Deliverance of Shishupal at the Rajasuya Sacrifice. In Chapter 74, the Brahmanas worship Krishna with the Agra Puja during the Rajasuya Sacrifice. Krishna beheads Shishupal, and Duryodhana's pride is injured. King Yudhisthira said, "The exalted spiritual masters of the three worlds, like Sanaka, the directors of universal affairs, like Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, and all the inhabitants of the planets carry your orders upon their heads, my dear Lord Sri Krishna. It is certainly a disgrace for us that you, my dear Lord, accept the orders of us low-class persons. People will mock us for making the Supreme Lord Himself our order carrier. Even though you execute the orders of jivas like us, you, my dear Lord Krishna, do not suffer any loss of position. Because all your forms are only the Lord, with similar quality, you are called one, Eka. Because Maya and the jivas are your energies, Shaktis, there is nothing different from you. Therefore, you are called Advitiyasya, without a second. How is it possible for you to ever lose your exalted position? Moreover, though you are all-pervading absolute truth, there is no reduction in your position. Since you are the Supersoul controlling all the jivas, you cannot possibly come under the regulation of such a jiva as myself." Vishnath. Verse 4, King Yudhisthira makes this statement out of humility. In fact, Krishna is controlled by his devotees, but this does not diminish the Lord's position in the least. Rather, this is Krishna's greatest exaltation, because it reveals the profound mercy of Krishna, which he is always exhibiting. Yudhisthira's words that Krishna is like the sun, yata rave, implies that God never decreases his power, just as the sun shines on earth, on the home of a dog-eater, as well as illuminating the home of the supreme demigod Brahma, on the top of Sumeru Mountain. Krishna said, "But Yudhisthira, why are you not thinking that since I am thus the Supreme Lord, why are you not thinking it is improper for me to be engaging in such low activities?" Yudhisthira replies, "O unconquerable one, Ajita, even your devotees do not have the perverted intelligence of ignorant men who think like animals in terms of I and mine, you and yours. And being vastly learned, I am the best and need not follow anyone's order. Nor do devotees think, because you have no scriptural knowledge, you are a fool and must render service to everyone else. My dear Lord, your devotees have no material mentality of making distinctions, so their mentality is purely spiritual. What then to speak of your mentality, Bhagavan?" In the springtime, Yudhisthira appointed a Brahmana to conduct the sacrifice. Many exalted, illustrious Brahmins were engaged in that sacrifice, including Krishna Dvaipayana, Bharadwaj, Gotam, Asita, Vashishta, Chavan, Kanva, Maitreya, Vishramita, Jaimini, Kratu, Paila, Parashara, Garga, Kashyap, Domya, and many others. The Brahmanas purified the sacrificial arena by plowing it with a golden plow and performing various rituals. They purified Yudhisthira through initiation. There were elaborate golden utensils everywhere. The kinnaras and devas and charanas and earthly kings that came were not astonished to see the abundance of golden utensils, as was previously seen in the ancient Rajasuya performed by Lord Varuna. Because they simply thought, what is impossible for Krishna's devotee like Maharaj Yudhisthira? As the demigods performed the Rajasuya of Varunadev, the priests performed a sacrifice for Yudhisthira. Yudhisthira worshipped the priests on the day of extracting the somaras. The members of the assembly were thinking over who should be worshipped first. The undecided members of the assembly were the less intelligent ones, and not such exalted personalities as Brahma, Shiva, and Dwaipayana Vyasadeva. These particular members of the assembly, they thought, since no one today is asking our opinion, why should we say anything? Furthermore, Sahadeva is here, and he is renowned for his sharp skill in analyzing all sorts of circumstances. He can help appoint the person who should be worshipped first. Only if Sahadeva does not speak or cannot understand the situation will we speak up, despite no one's having inquired from us. Having made up their minds in this way, these great personalities, Brahma, Shiva, Dwaipana Vyasadeva, remained silent. Harati yachuta shraistyam bhagavan sat Patampati, Eshavai Devata Sarva, Deshakala Danadaya. Sahadev said, Achyuta, Sri Krishna, factually possesses supremacy in both the absolute and relative sense. It goes without saying that Krishna is supreme among all demigods, sacred places, and time and wealth. Hiratmakam idam vishvam kratavascha yad atmaka agnirahutayo mantra sankhyam yogascha yad paraha eka eva dvittayo sava itad atmyam idam jagat atmanatma shreya sabhya Srijat Yavati Hantyaja. Krishna alone is the aim of Gyan and Ashtanga Yoga. Krishna is one without a second, and nothing is different from Krishna, since Krishna is one with everything. O members of the assembly, being his own shelter, Atma Ashraya, Krishna is not dependent on anyone else. As the original unborn Lord, Krishna creates, maintains, and destroys the universe. If you have differing opinions, then present them, and I, Sahadeva, will settle them. Sahadeva continued, by the mercy of Sri Krishna, all the karmic activities of the entire world and their fruits as well are realized. For this reason alone, it is proper to worship Krishna first. Furthermore, by Krishna's mercy alone, on this planet Earth, one can perform austerities, yoga, and other practices for self-realization. And from Krishna alone, all people gain auspicious results in their pursuit of Dharma. Both the activities and the result depend on Krishna. This principle applies not only to this time and this kingdom, but for all times and all places. Dwelling within every living being, Krishna sees nothing separate from himself. After hearing the delivery of Sahadeva, everyone in the assembly exclaimed, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhuiti satama. Excellent, excellent, wonderful dissertation. Hearing the Brahmana's pronouncement, excellent, excellent, Yudhishthira understood that the assembly approved, so he offered the first puja to Krishna. A messenger from Yudhishthira came to meet Lord Krishna at the entrance of the Rajasuya sacrifice, and the messenger said, "My dear Lord Krishna, now you are absorbed in the duty of washing everyone's feet as they arrive at the Rajasuya Yajna, which you have taken upon yourself. But King Yudhishthira wants to demonstrate the truth, being very eager to wash the feet of you who are actually worthy of worship by all, including Brahma and Shiva. Therefore, please quickly go there." Yudhishthira then worshipped Rishikesh Krishna, the attractor of all his senses, by bathing Krishna's feet. In loving anger, Krishna protested, "No, no, don't do this. Don't do this." After bathing Krishna's feet, Maharaj Yudhishthira sprinkled the water on his own head and the heads of his family members. His eyes were brimming with tears, which prevented him from directly looking at Sri Krishna. Shishupal was intolerant and infuriated to hear the qualities of Krishna being glorified. He stood up from his seat and angrily waved his arms, fearlessly addressing the assembly. So why didn't Shishupal protest why Krishna was being worshipped? But he waited until the worship was concluded, because his intention in keeping quiet during the worship and speaking only afterwards is herein revealed. Shishupala was thinking, "If I object before the worship starts and give many reasons why Krishna is ineligible, I certainly cannot be defeated in argument. Upon hearing my points, the assembly will stop worshipping Krishna and worship a qualified person instead. Then the sacrifice will proceed properly. I remain silent for now, but after Krishna is worshipped, I will reestablish his lack of qualification and thus demonstrate how the sacrifice is now spoiled because they offered the first worship, Agra Puja, to an unqualified person, namely Krishna. After fulfilling my desire amidst cries of dismay, I will depart with my associates, allied kings, learned Brahmins, and relatives like Duryodhan, after I have frustrated and ruined this intended Rajasuya sacrifice. Because the Smritis say, 'Apuja yatra pujyante, pujyanam cha vyatikrama,' in the place where those who are not to be worshipped are worshipped, there is offense to those who are actually worshipable. Improperly understanding who is to be worshipped and who is not to be worshipped will impede one's progress in life." Shishupal said, after the conclusion of the Agra Puja to glorify Krishna, "O leaders of the assembly, do not accept the words of a child, Sahadev, by which Krishna was selected for the first worship." Now Vishnu Chakravarti, he is indicating that actually Saraswati entered the tongue of Shishupal, and what he said in Sanskrit can also be taken in a different meaning. Rather than being blasphemy and chastising and ridicule of Krishna, it can be seen as and translated, interpreted as actual glorification. So the previous statement where he was saying that don't accept the words of a child, a young man like Sahadev, who suggested you all to worship Krishna, you should not listen. But Saraswati says that Shishupal said, "Do not regard Sahadev's words as child's words or words of a mere child. Sahadev's statements are factually the words of the Vedas." Shishupal continues by speaking in an attempt to win the assembly members over to his side by flattering them with words like tapo vidya in text 33. Shishupal calls Krishna a disgrace to his dynasty because Krishna killed his uncle Kamsa. But these same words that imply kulapam amsana, which can apply to Kamsa, but they can also mean that refer to Krishna as the destroyer of those who speak bad words. And in this text 34, Shishupal compared Krishna to a crow by saying yata kaka. But these words may be divided as yata akaka. Then it means that Krishna is forever situated on the pure transcendental platform. He's beyond all material happiness, ka, and misery, aka. Finally, Shishupal was right in text 34 when he said that Krishna was completely transcendental to all material dualities, does not deserve merely the rice cake and other items that are offered to lesser demigods like Indra during this yajna. Rather, Krishna deserves the offering of one's very life and soul. In text 35, actually throughout these texts where Shishupal is speaking, Saraswati is making him speak phrases and sentences which can be taken in two ways. One way is that it's criticism of Krishna, and the second way is the praises of the same Sanskrit words. So in text 35, one way Shishupal criticized by saying Krishna as a person was transgressed varna, ashrama, kula. But the inside meaning is Krishna is the person obtained as a son by Vasudeva, who is a strict follower of the standards of varna, ashrama, kula. And then Shishupal says, sarva dharma Bahishkrita Swarya. By this, Shishupal is saying, Krishna is devoid of all religious behavior and moves independently. But another meaning is, because Krishna is the supreme controller, therefore he acts independently of everyone. Krishna is beyond the gunas, material qualities, such as sattva, because Krishna's nature is situated in pure transcendental goodness. How can such a person deserve mere ordinary worship that is given to mortals and devas? Krishna deserves complete surrender by everyone. In text 36, listen, kings, the yadus are addicted to wantonly drinking liquor. But the inner meaning is, as rulers, the yadus have become absorbed in pan, which can mean drinking liquor, or pana means protecting the earth. Considering this, how does Krishna, the chief of the yadus, deserve useless worship? Rather, he deserves the most opulent worship. Shishupal says, these yadus are thieves taking shelter in a fortress within the ocean called Dwarka, which is devoid of brahminical potency. Therefore, they harass all their subjects. Alternate meaning. After abandoning the district of Mathura, because it provided no protecting fortress, they took shelter of a fortress within the sea called Dwarka, which is full of brahminical potency, Brahma Tejo Mayam, Brahmavarachasam. Now they suppress unlawful persons like us who have been born with great power. Praja. As a lion listens to the cries of a jackal without responding, Krishna listened to Shishupal without replying. As Nrsingadev hears the prayers spoken by Shiva but remains silent because there is nothing more auspicious, Krishna remains silent hearing these praises, which are, of course, unintentional, by Shishupal. Hearing these blasphemous statements, the assembly cursed Shishupal. "Oh, Shishupal, you should die immediately." Then everyone left the hall. Then there's a verse number 40. Nindam Bhagavata Shrinvams Tatparasya Janasyava Tato Na Paitiya Sopi Yatyada Sukritachchuta. Anyone who fails to immediately leave the place where he hears criticism of the Supreme Lord or his faithful devotee will certainly fall down, bereft of his pious credit. So this verse gives scriptural evidence by Shukadev to support the Yadavas leaving the hall at the onset of the Rajasuya sacrifice. The sons of Pandu, headed by Bhima, Arjun, became very angry at Shishupal, and they sprang to their feet. Shishupal took out his sword and shield and hurled insults at those who sided with Krishna. At that point, Sri Krishna stood up and checked his devotees from attacking Shishupal. Then Krishna angrily sent his razor-sharp chakra, Sudarshan disc, to sever the head of Shishupal as he was trying to attack. Why did Krishna stand up? Because he was thinking. Krishna's intention was, if I remain silent, then they will fight amongst each other and fill the sacrificial arena with blood. And if I mount my chariot and fight Shishupal with my army, then also this place will become contaminated by blood. Either way, the Rajasuya sacrifice of my dearmost Yudhisthira will be spoiled. Reconciliation at this point is too difficult because Shishupal will not hear or listen or change his mind or behavior. Therefore, I must do the needful. Deciding thus, Krishna stood up immediately and cut off Shishupal's head with his razor-sharp disc in such a way that when the head was cut off, not even a drop of blood fell within the sacrificial arena. Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki jai. An effulgent light rose from Shishupal's body and entered the body of Sri Krishna. That effulgent light, containing the eternal spiritual body within it, rose in the sky all the way up to Vaikuntha. After appreciating the non-difference of Vaikunthanath and Sri Krishna, it again merged with Krishna, like a comet fall from the sky. Shishupal remained within or inside Krishna until the end of Lord's earthly pastimes at Prabhasa Kshetra. And then Shishupal returned to the side of his master, the Supreme Lord of Vaikuntha. Because he's Jayan Vijay. Jayan Vijay, for the service of the Lord, they took three births, posing as demons externally. Haranyaksha, Aranyakashipu, Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Shishupal and Dantavakra, and some people say also Jagai and Madhai. All these three or four appearances were different appearances of these two Vaikunthavasis, gatekeepers of Lord Narayan, Sri Vishnu, known as Jai and Vijay. Someone might ask the question, how could such a blasphemer as Shishupal enter the body of Lord Vasudev? By absorbing his thoughts and enmity of Lord Krishna for three births, Shishupal attained a similar form as the Lord. Shishupal regained his position as a personal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. The reason is given. One's thoughts, bhava, are the cause of attaining bhavakaranam, the next body. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.147 says, Vairanubandha Tivrena Dhyanen Achuta Satmatam Nito Punarhari Parshwam Jagmatur Vishnu Parshado. These two associates, Lord Vishnu, Jai and Vijay, maintained a feeling of enmity for a very long time. Because of always thinking of Krishna in this way, they regained the shelter of the Lord, having returned home back to Godhead. So the sacrifice was performed. Everyone was happy and satisfied. Successful sacrifice. Demigods came and returned to their homes. And there was a Shutifal given at the end of the chapter. This deliverance of Shishupal, the Rajasriya sacrifice, the Shutifal for hearing this. Chapter 75. Ya-idam kirtayed Vishno karma chaidya vad chaidya vad adikam rajamoksham vitanam cha sarvapappe pramuchyate. One who recites these activities of Lord Vishnu, including the killing of Shishupal, the deliverance of the kings, and the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice, such a person who recites these will be freed from all sins. Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhu Sarvashrai Prati Shloke Prati Akshari Nana Artakai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna himself, the Supreme Lord, and the shelter of everything. And each and every verse and syllable, Shloke Akshari, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nana Artakai, there are multifaceted meanings, for it is as infinite as Krishna. Prema Maya Bhagavata Krishna Rashriyanga Tahate Kahena Jata Gopya Krishna Ranga. Mahaprabhu said, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna Prema. It is not different from the beautiful body of Krishna, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is a part of Krishna himself, for the Bhagavat describes Krishna's confidential pastimes, Gopya Krishna Ranga, Prema Maya Bhagavat, Krishna Rishyanga. Adi Madhye Ante Bhagavate Kai, Shumakti Visiddha Akshaya Abhyay. Mahaprabhu said, in the beginning, middle, and end, the Bhagavatam speaks only of Krishna Bhakti, Vishnu Bhakti. As such, this Bhagavatam is eternally present. This literature of Bhagavatam is eternally perfect, infallible, and infinite, because it contains all truths pertaining to the infinite, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adi Madhye Ante Bhagavate Kai Vishnu Bhakti Nitya Siddha Akshaya Vyai. Bhagavata Shastri Se Bhaktir Tattva Kahi Tini Bhagavata Sama Kona Shastra Nahi. Mahaprabhu said, since the Bhagavatam speaks exclusively of the truth of pure devotional service, Bhakti Tattva, it is unparalleled among the Shastras. Bhagavata Sama. No other scripture can compare with the Srimad Bhagavatam.